from the National Catholic Register. This is Register Radio, bringing light and clarity to the news and topics that affect your life.
Last spring, many parents found themselves with their children home while still enrolled in a Catholic school. This period of virtual learning was a dabble for many in homeschooling. But as the new year approached in the midst of the controversy surrounding reopenings and mask wearing, many Catholic parents opted for homeschooling programs. This week on Register Radio, we talked to Register Senior Editor Joan Frawley Desmond and writer and new homeschooling mom Mary Harrell about the debates and the appeal of homeschooling. I'm Jeanette DeMello, Editor-in-Chief of the National Catholic Register, and as usual, I'm joined by my co-host, Matthew Bunsen, in Washington, D.C. Hey, Matthew.
Hello. Good to be with you.
It's good to be here. My kids have started school, which is a huge blessing, but there are many whose kids are not in school. And of course, my kids, as I've said several times on the show in the last few weeks, are having to wear masks at certain times of the day. They're got a whole new system of picking them up and dropping them off and how they play on the playground. It's very, very different. And amid these kind of restrictions, and in some places lawsuits, and in some places schools that have not even announced when they're opening, many parents have said, wait a minute, I don't want to go through this. And they've looked for their options. Looked at options and what to do, and Joan Frawley Desmond brought us a wonderful story about parents who chose homeschooling as an option. And in that story, she met Mary Harrell, and both Joan and Mary join us now. Welcome.
Hello.
Hi, Jeanette.
So I'll turn to you, Mary, first. You are the mother of four with a fifth on the way. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Your children were once enrolled in a Catholic school out in Sacramento, California, where you live. Mm-hmm. But you decided to homeschool this fall, and in doing so, we somehow tracked you down, and you wrote a wonderful column for us called How Coronavirus Turned Me Into a Homeschooling Mom. And this column is trending on the Register's website right now. So let's talk about what was your moment of truth. Why homeschooling this year?
Why not? No.
It was good question.
Really, right. It was a hard one to make, a hard decision to make. We absolutely love our school. We are blessed to have five Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, that live on our campus and contribute to the life of our parish. They work with another Catholic high school in the area. They're really beloved, and it's a school we just love, top to bottom, inside out, love the whole place. And then we began distance learning, and it wasn't that, you know, the love started to wane, but it was difficult. And mm-hmm. It really, distance learning, we learned, is not really homeschooling. Distance learning is the curriculum being pushed at you, more or less, through a computer for you to administer to your kids. And a lot of our homeschooling parents looked at us as distance learning parents and said, you know, what you're doing is even harder than what we're doing as homeschoolers, because you are using a program that was not built to be homeschool, but you're doing it as homeschool, whereas we use homeschool programs to teach at home, and it's very different. So they really sympathized with us, and that was one of our first tip-offs of, wow, maybe there's a better way to do this, and if our school is not going to open this fall, we need to examine that. So then, you know, fast forward to this summer, we finally got a kind of a definitive letter from one of our overarching diocesan educator, you know, administrators, and they said, look, remember all that fun distance learning we did this spring, and remember all those live stream masses, and we're going to add masks to that, and we're going to add, you know, discrete cohorts in the classroom, and we're going to shut down your playground, and that's what your school is going to look like this fall if we open it at all. That's what it's going to be. So for us, it just seemed it was an unrecognizable place from what we had seen last January. And at that moment we said, wow, this is it. We have to look at our options.
Right, right. And did you find others who were making the same choice?
Sure. Yeah, plenty. And that's one of the heartbreaking things about this, that we also say to ourselves, if we all leave, our school's going to close and there's going to be no school to come back to. when eventually all this madness lifts. And none of us want that, but certainly we have families where dads have been laid off in the private sector. We have dads who are working for the state, you know, large state government here in California. All of our state workers took a 10% pay cut this year. We have dads who are police officers. We all know the stress they've been under for the last few months. So really, I think every family has just had to make a really hard call as to what they would do this fall and balance that with where is our school going to be in 12 months? Because we all do eventually, I think lots of us want to come back to us. Unless people really enjoy homeschooling, I'm not sure I'm going to be in that boat, but I'm sure some of them really will. Yeah.
Right. So Joan, you know, you met Mary through this story that you were working on. Was her own story similar to others that you talked to for the article?
Very much so. I think some, honestly, Jeanette, are still mulling it over. Mm-hmm. And I've had people calling me. They said, I'll call you if I decide to do it. I'm getting emails, you know, practically every day, texts from people saying, I've just about decided, I'm going to decide. But, of course, plenty have, and as I point out in my article, contacting some of the major Catholic homeschooling outfits, such as Seton Homeschool, Mother of Divine Grace, California-based school, another California one, Colby Academy, they're all having an unprecedented year of enrollments. I think Seton, which had about 12,000 yet last year, says they could have a 40% increase. And others are also saying big increases for, I think, Mother Divine Grace has, they said it could be 90% increase. So some of these numbers aren't that big. Some of them are big. I looked at a poll for my story where they said as much as 30% of parents, at least last May, were thinking about homeschooling for the fall based on the experience that they had had.
So, Joan, your story, I just want to point out the name of it so that people can go to ncregister.com and find it. It's COVID Spurs Catholics to Take Another Look at Homeschooling. And, of course, that's by Joan Frawley-Desmond, who we're talking to now. And Mary Harrell was a part of that story. And she also had a blog at ncregister.com, too, explaining her decision to homeschool. It's a very funny blog, Mary. You have a great sense of humor. And I'm sure that you will need that sense of humor as you begin this journey of homeschooling. You mentioned the program you're using. It's Seton. Will you and your husband be sharing the duties? How do you envision your week's days going?
Oh, will we ever? We will. I'll be the first leg of the relay. I'll kick us off this fall, getting everything going for the first month. But then baby number 5 should be showing up in about T-minus 8 weeks. Uh-oh. And at that point, it will fall to my wonderful husband to begin his paternity leave by taking over the schooling for the kids. And so I know many people have lots of different opinions on, I say this in my piece, you know, people have opinions about masks. Wait till you hear their opinions about homeschool programs. There are so many opinions, lots of them, you know, very valuable for what has worked with families, what hasn't worked for them. But we picked Seton more or less because I thought it would work for both of us, for our temperaments. I wanted something very clear. Not having done this before, Seton lays out a very clear program of what you do by the month, by the week, by the day. So we feel pretty secure going into it that we can do this. Seton makes it possible that you don't have to go hunting down different parts of your curriculum. It's all right there for you. And especially for my husband doing it, I wanted something really clear for him that he could feel confident taking over from me. This isn't going to be a system that I'm tweaking and adding to and taking away from, and then I'm just going to disappear, you know, to our bedroom with a baby for, you know, the next couple of months and say, good luck, honey. But he feels confident that he'll be successful doing it too. So that was a big reason for us for picking it.
Right. But Joan, you found that not everyone, you know, not everyone who was choosing homeschooling and not, you know, not enrolling in a physical school, not everyone actually chose it because they had a bad experience with virtual learning. I mean, some are actually choosing online programs. What's going on there?
Well, I think it's more complex. It's a little bit like Mary said up front, which is, there are virtual classrooms where they were, to be fair, they did the best they could, maybe given the last-minute school shutdowns in the spring. but it was, you know, just kind of thrown together program that didn't really fit the framework. And the result was is that you had a mismatch. Stuff was coming through to the parents. I have a sister-in-law who teaches. She says she's never worked so hard. She's like doing overdrive. She's also printing out stuff and sending that home and, you know, doing other stuff online. She was working all her weekends. So the idea that teachers weren't working isn't the case, but right. a lot of times they didn't know what was the best approach. And these homeschooling programs have spent years trying to figure out a user-friendly approach. So as Mary says, you've got Seton that's super simple. This is what you do today. This is what you're going to do tomorrow. You stick with the plan. You're going to have a successful school year. There are other ones that are self-paced. There are part-time ones. And there are online programs. So getting to your question, you know, like Colby Academy has a full-time online program, which a lot of people feel for high schoolers might work better than it would work maybe for a younger child still learning to read and all with a limited attention span. But so people are flocking to them. And you also have two-income families that need much more flexibility with online programs and other kinds of supports to get them through a school week that's also a work week.
Right. Right, Joan. And Mary mentioned economics as a, you know, as a factor for some, both the fear that, you know, schools, physical school buildings at your parish or whatnot could shut down because of a low enrollment, but also, you know, people are struggling. Some people have lost jobs and so they don't have the tuition money. What did you find was the range, I guess, the price range for enrolling in a homeschooling program?
Well, I think a mom like, you know, like Mary, who has four children in the program, is in a great position, as I think she found, and she could speak to that. I think she said that Seton was around more or less $1,600, you know, fraction of what she was paying for her school tuition. So you have that issue. There are other programs that they mostly seem to be based on the oldest child and then working down from there as to what the total cost would be for a family. And then more that you learn, you move into like online programs where you have individual instructors, you know, teaching specific classes in a live environment where students are sending in questions, you know, that's going to be more. It's closer to a real live, you know, real time school situation. So a high school, a full-time online high school program at Colby Academy was, you know, $4,500. Right. But Seton, you know, much less. And for Mother Divine Grace, it was around $750 for an elementary school program with the oldest child being in elementary, so that covers all the children. And then going up to, you know, into like, I forget exactly, like 1,200 once they have the oldest child in high school. So they're really trying hard to give larger families a break, which is kind of refreshing, right, Mary? And, and so those are like some features that you also get like credits for books, you know, textbooks and stuff like that. So they're looking for ways to do that. Parents can also get counseling, testing, and other supports to help them evaluate their child's progress. And, you know, these are accredited schools for the most part. So the family has that assurance that at the end of the year, you know, so that will work.
Right. I really, you know, I had to think about it with the big unknowns in, you know, and with our Catholic school. But so I thought about it and I did the math too. And I was like, wow, this would be a great savings. But I couldn't make it work out for myself. But I have a brother and his wife who, Mary, are very much in the same situation as you. She's actually due today. I mean, she's expecting her fourth, but she decided to homeschool the other three. And and so, yes, my brother will be doing the first leg of the school year. So I think there are probably many who are in your position, brave parents who are taking on this homeschooling. As we close this segment of our show, Mary, can you share with us, I guess, how you're preparing and maybe what you're most looking forward to or not looking forward to?
Oh, gosh. I will say, not having to pack those lunches at 9:30 every night and, you know, throw food in the lunchbox that everyone's going to complain about at 3 o'clock the next day. I didn't want baby carrots. I will enjoy that that will no longer be part of my daily routine. Right. Four kids going to a private school. Uniforms. Uniforms are a big part of my life. The laundry schedule is a big part of my life. So I won't necessarily miss that this fall, especially with all the, you know, the newborn and baby clothes and all that thrown in. But it was fun trying to organize, you know, a new cubby system and finding where we're going to put all the books. And there's that, there is that new school feeling of it's the bouquet of freshly sharpened pencils from You've Got Mail. It's that feeling that the books are here. We're excited for our year. We're ready to take on this challenge. My kids are somewhat enthusiastic, but probably just more or less ignorant of what actually is going to start happening here in a few weeks at the breakfast table. But we just really hope to rely on the grace of God to get us through this. We hope to stay close to all of our friends and families, families that are still at the school. We're all trying to stay connected and support each other through this, you know, because even our families, that are going back to school are not actually going back to school for a couple of weeks, if then. So that's what we're trying to get through and support each other through that.
Well, I find that community is very important. And so I'm glad you've plugged into that and kept that. We'll certainly pray for you as you embark on this big adventure. And we hope to catch up with you again and find out how it's going. Blessings to you and your new adventure and that new little one that'll be in your arms soon.
Oh, thank you so much, Jeanette.
So check out Mary's story. Her story is at ncregister.com, How Coronavirus Turned Me Into a Homeschooling Mom. We're going to take a short break and we'll continue talking with Joan Frawley Desmond about education and some other topics here on Register Radio on EWTN. Stay tuned.
The reason for our hope with Father Larry Richards.
Every day of my life since I was 17 years old, I've spent an hour a day minimum with the God of the universe. I would die for him, that which I'm most afraid of, I would die for him in an instant because he's the most important thing in my life. I know him. And see, that's what it ultimately comes down to. What about you? Where are you at with this God? Because that's the ultimate question. Does God exist? Doesn't he exist? Is Christ God? Isn't he God? Is there life after death? Is there not? Is this all a waste of time? Or is this all for a purpose? What's the purpose of life? And so in the Catholic Church, the church has taught us in the beginning, who made me? God made me. Why did God make me? God made me to know him, love him, and serve him in this world so I can be happy with him forever in the next. The first purpose of life is to know God.
Let's return to Register Radio on EWTN.
Welcome back. I'm Jeanette DeMello, Editor-in-Chief of the National Catholic Register. I'm joined by Matthew Bunsen, my co-host, and also by Joan Desmond, who's a senior writer and editor at the Register. Joan, this has been a school year like none we have ever seen. Well, actually, it's been a year like none we've ever seen. And here on Register Radio, we've been talking about education on the show for the last few weeks, basically the pandemic's impact on education. And of course, the bishops have really been speaking up about this issue. This past Thursday, they released a letter to Congress. What was their appeal?
Basically, Jeanette, things are really bad. They confirmed, and I wrote about this earlier, it looked this way, and now they've confirmed 140 schools have closed due to the fact that a lot of parents cannot pay enrollment. And so now they're concerned about protecting those that are still remaining. And they make the case going beyond, of course, just taking care of the families that are already enrolled in the remaining schools. You know, these include underprivileged families. You know, I've noticed some media accounts suggest these are all like super, wealthy families. They're not. They're single moms. They're working class families. Sometimes they're there because they want a Catholic education. Sometimes they're there because the local public school isn't up to snuff. They are absolutely depending on these schools. They need to work.
They want the schools open. If the schools aren't open, number one, many families will not re-enroll. But number two, even if the school is open, the family may not be able to afford enrolling immediately until they get more job security. So the bishops have asked for that help, and it remains to be seen. We're talking about an estimated $70 billion in potential federal aid that would go to the nation's schools. And the question is, how much of that aid, once it's approved, and we don't know how much will be approved, would actually go to private parochial schools? And that's what remains to be seen. So they made the case that these schools should be saved, and they said not only for the sake of the students who were there, but for the sake of the whole public school system. They would have to absorb these children, which they're not prepared to do short term. They save taxpayers, millions of dollars. So they're also making the case that they are providing a public service. They're educating the next generation. They're doing a high quality job, and they're often doing it for a lot less money than the local public system.
Yeah, and Joan, I know that a lot of Catholic parents want to send their kids to school. And the problem is that the pandemic has created so much job insecurity, and many parents just can't pay to enroll their kids. I know that you wrote about a group of Catholic parents who were asked, who asked Cardinal Dolan of New York to give their school another chance. What did you find from your research?
It was heartbreaking, honestly. I really felt for them. This is a working class family in Westchester, suburbs of New York City. And, these are policemen, who are already having such a tough time, postmen, firemen, fire workers and others. And they're basically begging him to keep open their school. These are families that are super tight. And boy, don't we need community now? They want to keep their communities together. And honestly, it was really moving for me. I remember talking to a teacher who had been there for over 30 years. She described how the community supported her when her husband was battling cancer, how parents were subbing for her. It was just a super tight community. It's a reason why a lot of people want to be in Catholic school along with the education of the faith, just having that support. And now it's just gone away. And so people are looking at what do we have left right now? So beyond the enrollment issues, we have this problem of whether the federal government is going to come in to help. And then we have the question of whether the school is actually going to even reopen for the fall, allowing parents to get back to work and deal with all these issues. And so, you probably saw, Matthew, this whole skirmish that came up in Maryland with Governor Hogan reversing Montgomery County health order that had closed the private and parochial schools along with the public schools.
Yeah, and yet you still had local health officials who were kind of doubling down on a lot of this.
Right. Well, the thing was is that Hogan, it's one of the only instances I know of where a elected official has countermanded a public health official, and I'm not, either endorsing this or not. But what he said, don't have blanket mandates for school closures. The public schools gave it their best shot. They decided to close for now and go online. These Catholic and private schools have given it their best shot. A lot of them have spent a huge amount of time and money to make their schools safe, and now you've just shut them down. Let them try to make this work. Let them make their case. And I thought that was impressive, but basically the initial order got huge pushback from local parents. Thousands were on a Facebook page. They were petitioning the governor. And as my daughter, full disclosure, we used to live in Montgomery County, and we had our kids in a couple of Catholic schools, so we know those communities well. And my daughter said, well, Mom, the other factor is there are a lot of lawyers in Maryland. They're not going to put up with this.
it's
a funny aspect to it as well.
Right. It's so true. I mean, this has become a political issue as well, Joan, and it's been surprising. You mentioned Maryland. Texas is another place where their governor, Greg Abbott, has basically said that Catholic schools and non-public schools are not going to be shut down. They're not going to dictate what they do. And I think those are the right approaches. Louisiana governor has been really good as well. Is a Democratic Party governor. So we've got the states in totally different places. California has been particularly hard hit, and that's where Mary, who we spoke to in the last segment, was living, and that's what she was faced with. Joan, we have 3 minutes left. I mean, 2 minutes left, a short amount of time. What should we learn from this moment that we're living right now, especially related to education?
You know, I really think, Jeanette, we need to stay very close to the faith. We need to be very supportive of each other. What I saw, you know, is our families, young families, trying so hard to make this work, to stay stable, to stay focused, to stay responsible, to make the best choices they can. I think they want the church to have their back in the sense that, you know, if schools can safely reopen, if their parochial school can safely reopen. If they can't, you know, just do the best job you can for those families. Support them in whatever choices they make. And you know, pastors need to be there. There needs to be as much presence as possible in the community during this period. You know, a lot of people thought this was going to be over and we were going to get back to normal, and we are not getting back to normal. And I think people are getting very exhausted. So this is where they need support from the church, from their Catholic school, from their community. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, the Register is going to be covering this and doing the best we can to express what they're going through and support them.
That's right. Well, I couldn't have said it better. I'm living this right now with my own kids, and it's a very important topic. I want to point to one last story before we close, and that is how Biden and Trump campaigns have been shaped by pandemic and protest. And, of course, education has become a component of that. So look for that story at ncregister.com. Thanks for joining us on Register Radio here on EWTN. For Matthew Bunsen and our producer, Jeff Burson, and this week, Mike McCall, I'm Jeanette DeMello. Until next week, God bless you.